James 5, 7 to 11. It's our text today. It's the third Sunday of Advent, as I mentioned earlier. As we think about Advent, we are looking forward to Jesus' second coming. We remember the first time Jesus was born, and people weren't expecting that in particular, but they were waiting for the Messiah. And as we look forward to something like this, there's that sense of waiting, because it's not happening right now. There was a waiting for the first coming. There's a waiting for Jesus' return. Waiting. As we heard in our gospel reading today, John the Baptist he was in prison. He sent some of his followers to Jesus with a question, and whether it was for their benefit or his benefit, the question was, are we waiting for another? As he was looking at what Jesus was doing, you could say there were some things that the promised Messiah would do that were not happening yet. So we're still waiting. Where is the judgment that would come? John had announced that there would be judgment coming. Where is the judgment? He's waiting. The response is, from Jesus, things are happening. God is working. The judgment isn't happening yet, but look at the miracles. Look at people being healed. Look at what's happening. There are things happening. God is working, but they're still waiting. We're waiting now for Jesus' return. Some things he has already accomplished. Sin has been atoned for. That mission is accomplished. Now, we're just waiting for the end to come, for all of it to be complete. Some days it's easy to wait. In fact, we might not even think about the fact that we're waiting. As things are going well, if we're healthy, if we're having fun, all of those things, we may not even think about the fact that we are waiting. Other days, it's not so easy. Times that are painful. Maybe with physical pain, with mental pain, with emotional pain, spiritual pain, even. I don't like the thought of dying. I'm not afraid of what comes after that, but I don't like the thought of going through dying. I'd rather Jesus just come back. Don't have to worry about that, right? Wouldn't that be nice? I don't like the idea of being sick. I don't like being sick. I'm not sick very often where I'm feeling sick to my stomach and I need to throw up. And I'll admit, I'm not, I can face a lot of things in life. I don't like facing that. I'll just admit I'm a weakling when it comes to that. If I'm sick to the stomach and needing to throw up, I'd rather Jesus just come back. Come back now. I don't want to deal with this sickness. That's my own feeling. I don't want to wait through that. Even though it doesn't last that long. A day or two. That's it. But still, I don't want to wait through it. How do we wait? How do we wait, especially when things are difficult and tough? How do we wait? Our text is from James this morning, and as we lead up to this, we find James talking about a few different topics here. He talks about boasting about tomorrow, what kind of plans you will make, and he says you don't even know what tomorrow holds. So don't hold on to those plans too strongly. He gives a warning to rich people who may be oppressors. In this case, he knows of some who are, and he's speaking to those who have oppressed people. He said, you've had your fill. You've caused pain to others. In contrast to these things, oppressing others, making plans that we're not even sure about, James makes an appeal for patience for what God will do when Jesus returns. James 5, 7 to 11 is our text. I'll invite you to stand as I read that this morning. James 5, 7 to 11, reading in Jesus' name. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us. Thank you for the encouragement to be patient and wait for Jesus' return. As we think about that, as we consider that this morning, guide us to learn from it, to be patient. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll invite you to be seated and invite any kids that want to come up to the front. So patiently. Patiently waiting for me to say something, huh? I'm waiting patiently for you to come up, and you came up very well. Thank you. Hey, glad you could come up today. Is it hard to wait for things sometimes? It is hard sometimes. Who opens presents on Christmas Eve? Anybody does that? Maybe? Oh, today. Is that because there's a birthday? Okay, I'm talking about Christmas presents, not birthday presents. How about Christmas Day? How many do that more than Christmas Eve? You guys, you open Christmas Day or Christmas Eve or both?
We do.
On both. But on Christmas Eve, I get like one or two.
Okay, that's kind of the way we do it in our family, yeah. When I was a kid, we opened all of them Christmas Eve. What do you do?
We open them too.
Do you? Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Or both? Christmas Eve. No Christmas Day? No, I'll let you guys settle that earlier. Come to an agreement on what do you guys do? Yeah, but let's say it's Christmas Eve and maybe it's after the Christmas Eve service. Is it hard to wait through that and get home? Or what if it's Christmas Day and you have to wake up and maybe you have to wait for your parents to get up? Is it hard to wait patiently? You just go jump on them. Wake up! It's time to open. Don't do that. They won't like that. What are you thinking?
At Christmas Eve, we open our presents, but after Christmas Eve, my sister's birthday, Abigail's, her birthday's after.
That's true. Your sister's birthday is right after Christmas, right? Yeah, cool. You open Christmas presents? Yeah? All right. Well, we're thinking, sometimes it's hard to wait patiently, but we're waiting. The biggest thing that we have to wait for now, the biggest present that we have to wait for, is when Jesus comes back again and we get to be in heaven with him. And so we're waiting patiently for that to happen. I hope we're waiting patiently. I think we are. Do you want to hand some of those out? Thanks for coming up, guys. Would you like to hand some out? There we go. I'll split these a little bit more here. There we go. And would you like to hand those out? Okay. All right, thanks for coming up. You guys can go back. And just so you know, the last word on there is Job, not job. They're not listening to me. They don't. Okay. If they hear it, they'll write it down. All right. You guys got it all figured out? All right. They got it figured out, I think. They'll have it figured out? Okay. Got it, guys? All right, great. I know I could just keep going and let them handle it, but I do know that they're very entertaining to watch as well, see what they're doing. So, also, you know, since the title is Patiently Waiting, I figured I could do that. We could wait patiently. Be patient is James' appeal to us until the Lord's coming, until Jesus comes again. And really, sometimes it is hard. It is hard. And sometimes we do get impatient, and sometimes it doesn't show itself necessarily in, like, you know, calling out to God, okay, you know, we want Jesus to come back again. But maybe a sign of impatience is just that we turn to other things. We turn to other things. We turn to our plans for this life. We turn to building up wealth in this life, taking care of needs in this life. And so don't get impatient, and you know, there are things to take care of in this life, but don't be impatient in neglecting waiting for Jesus to return as we take care of this life. Don't get impatient when we face difficult times, and we might try to get out of these times ourselves and solve problems ourselves without turning to God. Because really, waiting patiently for Jesus' return is recognizing that God is in control of all of this and we can trust Him. So don't turn away from Him because things are going badly. Have patience. Patiently wait for Jesus' return. And James gives us the example here of a farmer planting his fields, waiting for harvest. He mentions the autumn and the spring rains. He's talking about the timing of crops growing, of harvest coming. And if you've ever had the experience, maybe not of farming, but at the very least of gardening, you know what this is like. I very eagerly watch the raspberry bushes and the cherry trees to see if the fruit is coming yet. And when I see those things coming on there, I think, is it ripe yet? And I always go out and check them. Is it ripe? They've got to be ripe by now. And it's really handy when I can, you know, do something else and come back and realize, oh, okay, a few days have gone by, I didn't have to check them, and now they're getting ripe. That's nice. But we know that there's a timing of things. And we know that if you have something like that, if you've done gardening, if you've done farming, you know, you look forward to the time when those things will come in. But you have to wait for it. You know that. You know that you have to wait. In the same way, Jesus' return is coming as surely as the harvest time comes. But we have to wait. The only difference here is, and it's a big difference, is that we don't know the timing, do we? And that sometimes makes waiting patiently a little bit harder. The farmer can predict relatively with some accuracy when the harvest will be ready. We can't really predict that when it comes to Jesus' return. But we're encouraged to stand firm in our faith, in trusting God, because the Lord's coming is near, James says. It is near. Whether it's a long way off or close in time, it is near. It is ready to happen. James gives another example here. Don't grumble against one another or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Maybe he's talking about this impatiently waiting by getting into scuffles with each other, arguments, disagreements, grumbling against one another as we're waiting for Jesus to return, as we live life together. Don't get distracted by those things. The judge is standing at the door. Another illustration, this time in the sense of judgment as opposed to Jesus coming back to bring us to Himself. But either way, He's ready. He's at the door, ready to return. In the meantime, keep your mind set on what matters. Don't get into these squabbles and grumbling and things like that. But care for one another. Take care of one another as you wait patiently for Jesus' return. Well, maybe some examples of patiently waiting, especially in the face of suffering, would be good. And so James gives us some examples. He says, think about the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. Now, he doesn't name any particular prophets here, but let's think of some examples of those who waited patiently. Think about Jeremiah. He's got a long book. It takes a long time to read through. He wrote a lot of things. He lived a long life, preaching for decades, preaching to the people, turn from your evil ways. And all through that, people did not listen. Nobody listened to him. That had to take a lot of patience to continue to say the same things and nobody's listening. Jerusalem was attacked and destroyed and people were carried into exile because of their rebellion. And Jeremiah kept saying to them, don't rebel against Babylon. God has sent this judgment on you. Just submit to that, and God will save you in the end. Repent and turn to Him. And they did not listen. They rebelled against Babylon, and they got destroyed even further. And then Jeremiah said, don't go down to Egypt to run away from Babylon and think that you should go there and escape this judgment. Those who go down to Egypt are leaving God. And they ignored him, and they went down to Egypt. And not only that, they took him with them. With them. They forced him to go with, even though he said, don't do that. Imagine the patience that it took to go through all of that. Ezekiel, one of the exiles, knowing that this would be a long time, Jeremiah had said to the people, 70 years they would be in exile. As an illustration of spiritual life, he was instructed by God not to mourn when his wife died. showing what would happen when Jerusalem was destroyed, that this destruction of Jerusalem was deserved by the people. And so he was instructed not to mourn, as an illustration that the people should not mourn for Jerusalem because the destruction was just. Not saying, obviously, that the death of his wife was for justice, but it was an illustration that God used. Imagine the patience of going through all of that. Not considered prophets necessarily by us, but still prophets nonetheless in a way, not having spoken God's word to the people, but the patriarchs are remembered as well as prophets in a way. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the founders of the nation of Israel, a land promised to them by God, a nation, but needing patience. None of those three owned land in the place that God had said would be given to them. Abraham and Sarah were 100 years old and 90 before having children. That is patience. And some might say at that point, maybe it's not worth it. That's pretty old. I don't know if I want a kid at that age. 100 years old and 90. Patience as they waited for the promise. Isaac and Rebekah also had to wait before they had the twin boys. None of them received the land they were living in. Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt with their families. Their descendants, eventually, after being rescued from slavery, would get the land. Patience took a long time. One specific example, then, that James does name is Job. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. That's all he said. That's a pretty simple statement of it. You've heard of Job's perseverance. Easy to say. Think about that way of describing what Job went through. Just, you've heard of Job's perseverance. Yeah, that's pretty easy, right? Imagine describing something in your life. Or think about reading a story or hearing an account of someone. They trudged along in the snow for the next 6 hours. You know, you can read, oh, they trudged in the snow for 6 hours. All right. But imagine yourself being there. Oh, that is not easy, right? I remember being stuck in the mud in Chad one time in August and out of cell phone range, so I couldn't even tell Mandy at the time we were stuck, which was probably better. And then the next day, you know, after all day of having a shovel, unfortunately, because we dug ourselves deeper in the hole, we finally made it to a village. We made it out of the mud, made it to a village where we had cell phone service. And I told Mandy, we got stuck in the mud yesterday. Well, that was pretty easy to say and did not very well describe what it was to patiently or impatiently try to get ourselves out of the mud. Think about Job then, not just with this brief comment of thinking about Job's perseverance, but let's consider for a moment what he went through. So much wealth that God had given him, serving God. God recognized that he was righteous. We would say repentant in times where it was needed. He offered sacrifices of repentance to God. Satan came before God and said, you know what, if you take everything away from him, he will curse you. It's only because you've given him all these things. That's the only reason that he worships you. So God gave Satan the power to allow Job to suffer, but not die, not to kill him. First was his family, his 12 children and all his possessions, thousands of sheep, of camels, of cattle, of donkeys. His 12 children all killed in a house collapse. His wife was not killed, but was not encouraging either. I don't know if we want to make any comments about that necessarily. But finally, Satan was given authority to afflict Job himself in his body and give him sores all over his body so that it was suffering, his suffering. His friends came to comfort him, and they were no comfort to him, simply telling him, what's going on with you is because you did something terrible, and you need to repent of it and just admit that you deserve it, and God will fix things. No help to him. It was not an accurate description of what was going on. And for a long time, we don't know the time frame, but there was a time that his friends were with him in silence for days, before they even spoke, and then they went back and forth for a long time. Imagine sitting in all of that pain. It's easy to read about, But it's much more to go through it. And we've probably all experienced, at least to some extent, things that have been challenging to go through. As James describes what happened to Job and his patience, his perseverance, he says, "The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." Think about what Job went through, what God finally brought about. He is full of compassion and mercy. Easy things to read about, not easy to live through. But maybe those things that we read about, even though we can't picture them fully, what they went through, maybe they can be encouraging when we are suffering, when it is hard to be patient, waiting for Jesus to come again, or even waiting for Him to work in some way in our lives, in to ease our suffering, to ease things in our life. So we are encouraged here by James to wait patiently for the Lord's coming. We have examples of others who waited patiently for God's blessing and for Jesus' first coming. The prophets that announced it never saw it, but they knew it was coming, and they were waiting patiently. We know that His return will happen. We just don't know when. We know that everything will be right when He does return, no matter how long it is, and no matter how wrong things are going now. And we know that God still works, even before that happens. He works good things in our lives, even now, as we wait patiently for Him. And so we wait, and we ask God that He would help us wait patiently. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the wonderful things that You do. We thank You for the fact that You are full of compassion and mercy. And first of all, that we can be saved and be a part of Your family. And we thank You that we can look forward to eternity with You. We thank You for the hope and joy that that gives us. We ask that as we live out our lives here, that that reality would work itself out in our lives as we serve one another, patiently waiting for Your return. Patiently serving and encouraging one another. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.